didn't have all the guns, which made it difficult when they pointed them at your head sometimes. But that did make you chant very attentively. There's something about thinking this is my last round that makes you chant it very clearly. But we never know when our last round might be. So the next letter that came from Prabhupada came with a receipt that Rishi Kumar came to Bombay after that. Now it's called Mumbai. And Prabhupada told him, you left that young boy all alone there without telling him, and you took the money. He said, give me what money you have. This is what other people told me. And Prabhupada got $700 from him and credited it to my book bill. So I got a receipt that I collected money from Rishi Kumar and credited it to your book bill. That made me feel good. When I wrote to Prabhupada that he'd taken the money, I wasn't really asking, can you please track him down and get the money back? Because, you know, usually it doesn't work that way. But he actually did, without even being asked. He got some of the money back and credited it to the book bill, so I didn't owe such a big bill. And of course, later then he'd asked a boy named Duradarshan to come to here. And of course, Duradarshan means hard to see, right? Hard to find. So he came here for a quick time, and then he left very quickly too. So very quickly I was alone again here. But then Prabhupada had, Pushta Krishna saw me, was telling me how Prabhupada was concerned that the one young boy was there alone in South Africa, and that he should go down there and, you know, get things going in South Africa. So Pushta Krishna was planning to come. At one time, Guru Kripa and Yasodhanandan were thinking to come, but they didn't come. So Brahmananda tried to come, and I kept getting letters from him all the way down, but they turned him back at the border because Prabhupada had asked, you know, he collected the money back from Rishi Kumar. He'd asked Duradarshan to come. He asked Brahmananda to come, and Brahmananda kept sending me letters. I'm in Mombasa, now I'm in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, now I'm in Malawi. And then he was in Rhodesia, and then he got turned back at the border. So he tried to come. So Srila Prabhupada had asked so many different people to come. And Duradarshan came and left. Brahmananda wasn't allowed in the country, and finally he'd asked Pushta Krishna to come. So when I went to East London and Port Elizabeth to do books, that's when the security police found out where I was staying. So when I came back, they caught me. But since Prabhupada had already asked Pushta Krishna Swami to come, I called him up on the phone and I said, you got to get here right away. He said, well, I have money for myself, but not my assistant, Janakaraj. So I said, well, I'll send the money, but you have to be here tomorrow. And that was a Friday, and he showed up on Saturday. And I picked him up at the same airport here, and I hurried him out quickly. Like he writes in the book, he'd never seen anybody move so fast because I didn't want us to get caught. You know, I took my visa out of my passport when they got it, and they said, where's your visa? I said, it'll be here on Monday. So I knew I bought myself only till Monday, and then I was in big trouble. So I also asked my mother to send a ticket for me to go to Los Angeles, because I knew if I had a ticket, they'd probably just put me out of the country instead of putting me in jail. So Prabhupada had planned all these things to help out with the difficulties, and so Pushta Krishna Swami arrived with Janakaraj right away to continue on, because when I went on Monday, even though I had a ticket, they still took 8 hours to decide whether to deport me or put me in a jail. And finally they said, okay, we've telexed the capital in Pretoria, and that took the 8 hours. And then they said they've decided that you will be on the flight tomorrow, and if you're not on the flight tomorrow, your ticket will be invalid and you will be put in a South African prison. So I was put on that flight. And of course, Srila Prabhupada came later, but he was already here in spirit. He was already thinking about South Africa. He was praying that I would have the strength and enthusiasm to carry this out. And then eventually he came here. And it's not like Srila Prabhupada didn't have so many things to do. He was translating books, he was writing letters, and he was preaching all over the world. But he took the time out to come here to South Africa and to get a visa, even when it wasn't exactly legal for Indians to come here. But somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada came here. And this is the great fortune of South Africa. So I wasn't here when it happened, so we turned it over to Ramanuja or Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. Who will speak next? Ramanujacharya. He was actually here.
Hare Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. I gotta fix this. There we go. Ooh. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is very dear to Lord Krishna on this earth, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Our respectful obeisances are unto you, O servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, for you have so kindly delivered the Western world, which is full of with the message of Lord, which is full of impersonalism and voidism, with the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a devotee I met in Vrindavan named Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. He's a very old Indian devotee, and he said that he asked Srila Prabhupada. He was actually, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu was one of our early translators into Hindi. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, why is it we have this prayer, Paschatya Desha Tarine, the Western countries? I feel kind of left out because I live in India. Why is this Paschatya Desha Tarine? That Lord Prabhupada has spread the message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western countries, which are full of impersonalism and voidism. And Srila Prabhupada replied, this is my contribution to our sampradaya. Other people have preached against impersonalism and voidism, but Srila Prabhupada said, I preached in the Western countries. His spiritual master told him to especially preach in English, since he was educated. Of course, Srila Prabhupada would also give lectures in Bengali and Hindi, and he understood Sanskrit. But Prabhupada expanded that, and he went even to places where they didn't speak English, like Germany, France, Japan. Prabhupada traveled all over the world, and he came here to South Africa. And South Africa is one of the two countries on the African continent where Srila Prabhupada came, the other being Kenya. And of course, he visited Mauritius, which is considered in our zone. So, as I described on Friday at the Vyas Puja celebration of Parthasarathi Maharaj, Pushta Krishna Prabhu, who was our temple president and zonal secretary and GBC, everything. He tried for a long time. It was quite difficult for him to bring Srila Prabhupada here because the South African government did not have diplomatic relationship with India. And in the Indian passport, it says said at that time that the Indian passport would not valid for South Africa. So it took a long time, and finally when Srila Prabhupada came, it was a great victory. And Srila Prabhupada came to Johannesburg and Pretoria, and then he came down here to Durban and Pietermaritzburg. At that time, actually, the first devotees here, we were only able to get in because we were not, according to the South African government, we were white. To quote Big Bill Brunzi, an African-American blues singer, South African philosophy was, if you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, hang around. But if you're black, get back. So they thought we were white, and therefore we were all right, and we were able to get visas to come in. But they were really suspicious of mixing the races. When Srila Prabhupada arrived at the airport, Pushtakrishna was very judicious. He didn't want any of the so-called white devotees to greet Prabhupada at the airport because he was afraid the government wouldn't like it if he saw white people bowing down before an Indian. That would be unacceptable in their eyes. So we were very careful. We had to be very careful of this situation. In those days, we were here on tourist visas. We didn't even have a work permit. We were here on tourist visas, so it was a very delicate situation. If we were not careful, we could be thrown out of the country. So therefore, I didn't go to the airport. Partha Maharaj didn't go to the airport to greet Srila Prabhupada when he came in. Ridha Prabhu did. And some of our life members, they greeted Srila Prabhupada when he came to the airport. So it was a very difficult, kind of delicate situation. And I was always cooking for Srila Prabhupada and cooking for the devotees. Therefore, I didn't go to many of the morning walks. And Partha Maharaj was the pujari. He was taking care of the Gaur-Nitai deities, whom Srila Prabhupada said, South African Gaur-Sundar. Nitai Gaur-Sundar. So he didn't go on many of the morning walks either. But it was really wonderful having Srila Prabhupada. And it was 40 years ago. It was 1975. So certain things are very clear in our minds, what it was like when Srila Prabhupada came. We had a lot of personal association because there weren't many full-time devotees in those days, especially here in South Africa. Therefore, we had lots of association, and we had a lot of opportunity for personal service. And we had a lot of... Anyway, we could understand Srila Prabhupada saw a lot of potential here, and we see that the potential has become realized. We have a beautiful temple. We have our Rath Yatra. We have our Food for Life. We have actually not just this temple. There's many centers throughout South Africa now. And many devotees, about four generations. So it's wonderful that Srila Prabhupada came here to sanctify South Africa by his presence. And we're very thankful that he came. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nerevishesha Shunyavadi Pastitya Dejitarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikalpatrulupyascha kripa sindupya evacha, patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, of course, I was not here when Srila Prabhupada visited South Africa, and I only came actually in January 1980, and things were already established to some degree, although there were still the legal restrictions and there was difficulty with visas and so on. but in terms of Srila Prabhupada in South Africa, I didn't really have direct experience. Srila Prabhupada, we hear that Srila Prabhupada, when he was here, he spent, I think, 3 weeks arriving here on this actual day in 1975, 40 years ago to the day. And so he spent 3 weeks, and of course, Srila Prabhupada was an extremely perceptive person and extremely thoughtful person, and he would always be thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness wherever he might be at the time. So when he was here, Srila Prabhupada also certainly evaluated the situation and saw what the potential might be. And Srila Prabhupada, we're told at least, he gave 2 particular instructions in regards to the development of Krishna consciousness here in South Africa, and what he felt would be suitable, appropriate, effective for spreading Krishna consciousness and establishing Krishna consciousness here. So I thought I could just say a few words about that. These 2 things, one was to build a temple in Chatsworth. I assume that means, I don't actually know, frankly. Well, of course, he came to Lakshmi Narayan Hall in Mobini. I don't know if he drove through Chatsworth and really saw Chatsworth. Perhaps he did. Others would certainly or possibly know better than me, but Srila Prabhupada saw that to have a nice temple, he said, like the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan in India, here in Chatsworth, that would be very suitable, it would be very effective. And those of us who were familiar, had some experience with the movement before this temple was opened, and then after the temple was opened, then we've seen very clearly that this inspiration, this idea, this directive, order coming from Srila Prabhupada, how correct it was, how perceptive Srila Prabhupada was in giving that direction, because before this temple opened, even though we had a little prominence in the Indian community, but beyond the Indian community, we were not prominent, even to the point of perhaps being kind of unknown or hardly known at least, and not like some significant entity in the social landscape of South Africa. But Srila Prabhupada, such an amazing personality, he gave that instruction based on his realization and experience and perception of things here. And when the temple, well, even actually before the temple opened, the temple, Radharadhanath Temple, this temple of Srila Prabhupada's, even before it opened, this temple was defining the Krishna consciousness movement in South Africa and was influencing tremendously the situation of the Krishna consciousness movement in South Africa before it was opened. As Ramanujacharya Prabhu mentioned, the visa situation was really quite a challenge, and we had a simple approach, very straightforward approach. Yes, that was, you get a visa, you come in, and the visa expires. It was normally a 3-month visa. The visa expires, and you stay on without a visa. And Hari Bol, Jai Sri Krishna, just take shelter of Krishna. So we're doing that, and I did that. And yeah, I arrived January 1980. My visa expired in what it must have been April 1980, and that was it. We didn't even bother trying to apply for an extension. Some devotees, they had a special policy if they wanted to go out and come back in, having had their visa expire and then them being living here for some time illegally. Some of them had a very interesting policy of, it's called the laundromat policy. You put your passport in your clothes when you go to the laundromat, and after your clothes have been through with your passport, then you take the passport out, and of course it's just wrecked completely. And you can't see where, or you know, when you entered or what happened, when you should have left. So devotees would do that, go out, and the South African people there, the visa people, as you go out, would check and get very upset, but they would just let the devotees go out. Anyway, I just stayed on personally until we all got arrested for being here without visas. And there were something like 20 of us foreigners here, every single last one without a visa for many months or even a couple of years. We all got arrested, and the late Mr. Amichand Raj Bansi, he had like a relationship with the National Party government, and he went to them and he said, look, you know, these people are doing such good work in the Indian community. If you let them stay, if you kick them out, the Indian community will be upset. And if you let them stay, It'll be like a feather in your cap with the Indian community. Plus, these people are building the most wonderful temple. So like this, we were allowed to stay on. And finally, Mr. de Klerk, before he became the president, he was minister, I think, of internal or home affairs. I think that was his position. He came here and he visited here, the temple, and the devotees showed around him around and explained to him and just really, you know, really presented things strongly but very nicely to him. And when he flew out from the airport where we just met Srila Prabhupada a few hours ago, and which we wish was still the airport, but anyway, because the other one's too far away, but that's just totally by the way. When he flew out, he flew over the temple. He flew over it. He looked out the window. There was our temple. And he saw it. And he said, when he saw the temple as he flew out, you know, he hadn't really known exactly what sort of position he should take, positive, negative, about us and what we're doing. But when, and even after he got shown around, etc., etc., he still hadn't made his mind up. But when he flew out and he saw this temple still in the process of being built, but he said that it really touched his heart and he felt we must let these people stay and let them carry on. They're doing very good work. Just look at this. It's such an outstanding temple. So then he decided, as the Minister of Home Affairs, that all of us 20, we could get work permits and stay on legally in the country, despite the fact that we had just blatantly broken the law, so blatantly and obviously. And even our leader, Tulsidas, who was the leader of our movement here, the national secretary then, he was also the leader of the laundromat program. He had been out, I think, a couple of times and come back in. But in order to try to kind of reinforce his position when he came back in one time, having been out, he changed his name in America legally. His name was John West. You know, it's just a very typical kind of Western American, European sort of name. He changed it very strategically to John, would you believe, Kruger. What a brilliant idea that was. So he was welcomed when he came in, but then he let his visa expire, of course, because that was the rule. You had to let your visa expire in ISKCON. So it was all very nice until they arrested him, and then they understood what he had done. Oh, they were not happy. Shishi Radha Radhanath Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sri Giri Govardhan Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki. So they were really upset about it. And if it was any other country, like a normal Western country, like America, like England, all these different types of places, 20 people from an extraordinary religious organization, all of them obviously just flaunting, just blatantly breaking the law of the land completely for a year, couple of years, every single one. It was obviously a strategy, but we were allowed to stay. And the crucial thing, the really crucial thing, which just, you know, sort of the last straw which broke the back of the government, and then they just gave in completely, was when de Klerk flew over the temple and saw it, and it really influenced him. So this temple, you could say, brainchild of Srila Prabhupada, it was also preaching, it was also influential in extremely important ways before it was even opened. Well before, at least a couple of years before it was opened, and let alone when it was opened, the Krishna consciousness movement, just on the basis of this temple, became accepted as a, you know, like a real entity, part of the social reality of what is South Africa. Yes, we used to have, you know, in the good old days, we used to have every single day, we would have at least one coach of tourists come, often two, and be shown around, and they would sort of ooh and ah and be very impressed by the temple. It really was something, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to reinstate that. So this temple is, like you could say, a preacher. This temple's a powerful preacher, actually. So that's one of the things which Srila Prabhupada said to do when he visited here. And so you could say it was really like, this temple is like a brainchild of Srila Prabhupada. Yes. And then the second thing, of course, the second thing Srila Prabhupada said we should do is Rath Yatra. And we all know now, last 26 years, I think it is, or so, we've had Rath Yatra in Durban on the beachfront. And, well, we've all seen it, I'm sure, many, many times. And we all know that it's also extremely influential and just wonderful program for establishing and presenting Krishna consciousness in this country. And we have Rath Yatras in different places. It's kind of developing slowly, but it's developing step by step. A couple of weeks ago, I think, was it 2 weeks ago, on the Saturday, the 19th it was, of September, so 2 weeks ago on Saturday, we had Soweto in, we had Rath Yatra in Soweto. And it was really nice. It was really nice. Best Rath Yatra we've had in Soweto in all the however many years we've done it. We had Rath Yatra in Bethel, of all places. And so particularly the Rath Yatra in Durban on the beachfront is just such an amazing thing. And again, it's a specific brainchild of Srila Prabhupada when he was here. He's specifically having thought about the situation, the people, and what might or might not be effective here, then so he decided Rath Yatra, very important program. If it's done nicely here, it'll have a big impact. So, yes, Srila Prabhupada, he was a real visionary. Well, Srila Prabhupada, he was a real transcendental personality, including being a real visionary. He was just an extra-dimensional person. He was far from being just another one of us. He was one in a, what? There's 7 billion people on the planet now, plus or minus. So he was one in 7 billion. He really was. And in every way, such a visionary, such an expert presenter of Krishna consciousness. Just all these things. Such a person who could interact with people in such ways, Krishna consciousness would be sowed in their hearts. Srila Prabhupada, such a unique, truly unique person. A great, great acharya on the level of the greatest acharyas of the past. And we were so fortunate. We are so fortunate to, in some cases, have had his association. Here's an interesting example. There is Shulendra Ji sitting up there, you can see, with his white kurta on. He had Prabhupada's association in 1975, twice. Do you know how? Let me tell you how. Because he was in his mother's womb when his mother went to the program in Reservoir Hills and the program in the city hall. There he is, living proof of Prabhupada's potency. But seriously, actually. But seriously, who was it? Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother when Narada Muni preached to his mother. So, you know, we're not just being facetious or sort of, you know, trying to do a funny little thing. But within the womb of his mother, I'm sure the transcendental sound vibration from Prabhupada's lips, it touched his heart at two programs. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada, such an extraordinary person, and we are all so fortunate to have had his association, those of us who may have directly been in his presence at some times. Or even if not, that's okay, that's fine. But getting in his association through his movement, through his teachings, through the process he's given, through his disciples and through his devotees and followers, Prabhupada is coming to us all in these different ways, actually. And he's still coming to us in his temple, and he's still coming to us through Ratha Yatra. So now, of course, the next week or so, we're really focusing on Srila Prabhupada. It really is a wonderful opportunity to come closer to Srila Prabhupada. You know, we try to emphasize putting Prabhupada in the center as much as we can without being sort of, you know, just like, I don't know, maybe possibly some might think overdoing it just again and again and again. But this now, this week, starting right now, it's such an opportunity for all of us to come closer to Prabhupada than we have been in the past. even though we have a connection with Prabhupada. But now is really the opportunity in this week to come closer to Prabhupada, much closer than we've ever been. And in that way, tangibly benefit, and come out of it all after a week just enriched so much with Prabhupada's presence in our lives, in our hearts, just so much more deeply enshrined. It's really just a wonderful thing, and I'm so glad I'm here to participate. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.